always a privilege to come back to Southside. We spent 3 years here, not all at the same time, but we came to love you. And it's great not just to see people we know, but to see people we don't know. And that shows real growth in this congregation. Turn with me, please, to Genesis. I'm going to begin to read with the fourth chapter, reading verses 1 through 16. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Please give your attention to the Word of God. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of the flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod in the east of Eden. And that's true not only geographically, but spiritually as well. Now turn over to chapter 5 of this same book, Genesis. Chapter 5, reading verses 21 through 24. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Noah were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And then over to chapter 6, reading verses 11 through 17. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt. for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. And then finally turn over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, reading verses 1 through 6. Now faith is the evidence, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. And may God bless to us these portions of his own word. Let's bow for just a moment of prayer. Our Father, as we come to your word, we recognize that neither the speaker nor the hearers are important, for we are nothing. But Father, you are everything. Everything resides in you. You are the Creator God. You are the Redeemer of God's elect. You so love this world that you sent Jesus Christ to pay the penalty for our sins. And so, Father, focus our attention on this inspired word, which alone by your Spirit is able to speak to our hearts and transform our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. In the various churches that we have been privileged to serve in the last 16 years or so, we found that in every congregation of God's people, whether here in America or in Japan or Northern Ireland, where we were able to be for a little while, whether the congregations were new or old, large or small, all were concerned to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were concerned to hear that gospel presented so that the churches could be more effective in presenting this gospel to the world around them. All of us know that for a congregation to be used in advancing the work of the Lord, all of us must be involved. It's not the work of the elders, it's not the work of the people by themselves, it's the work of both together. As the elders provide leadership, and as the people respond in active service, every member must be used using the gifts that each one has from God. The task is too great for anyone to try to labor alone. As we look at Hebrews, this first verse of the 11th chapter, our attention is focused on faith. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Chapter 11, verses 4 through 7, the writer names three men whose lives were characterized by faith: Abel, Enoch, and Noah. Each of these men was involved in a primary activity which should characterize the life of every person who has professed faith in Christ. Sometimes we wonder, as we read this 11th chapter of Hebrews, the Old Testament Hall of Fame, why certain names were excluded. We don't find Elijah named, Elisha, Isaiah, Job, David, Nehemiah, and many others. But we do know that God's Spirit inspired the author to write these names and to bring to our attention the way God used them in the times in which they lived. In this 11th chapter, the author not only defines faith, he also reveals the foundation of faith, which is the Word of God. The first revealed Word of God is given as an example of the first truth requiring the exercise of faith. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. And brothers and sisters, if you can believe that verse, you can believe every word that's found in the 66 books of the Bible. In the third verse of this same chapter, the author writes, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Creation means to make out of nothing. But the foundation of faith is solely the word of God. And apart from that word, there can be no saving faith. In verses 4 through 7, the author provides the first historical examples of faith in a list which continues through verse 32. These examples are Abel, Enoch, and Noah. Men who were examples of three essential activities in the life and witness of the church: worshiping, walking, and working. First of all, he writes of Abel's worship, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. We read the account of Cain and Abel in the fourth chapter of Genesis. And both of these men brought offerings which were most appropriate for them. Cain was a farmer and he brought some of the fruit of the ground. Abel was a shepherd and he brought portions from the firstborn of his flock. There is no suggestion in the Genesis account that either offering was a sin offering requiring the shedding of blood. But God accepted the one and rejected the other. And the author says that the reason for God's response was faith. Faith in the heart of Abel. We are not told how the writer to the Hebrews knew this, but we can only conclude that it was divinely revealed. Because of his faith, Abel presented his offering as an act of worship. His offering is described as more excellent than Cain's. And the quality that made it more excellent was Abel's faith. Our worship, public and private, is only a form if it is not offered in faith. Faith that our worship receives divine approval because it is presented through our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his faith, Abel obtained witness that he was righteous. Cain had no such faith. His religion was a religion of works. Instead of faith, he exhibited qualities of unbelief and even sarcasm. When God asked him where his brother Abel was, Cain responded flippantly, "How should I know? Am I my brother's keeper?" But of Abel, we read in this New International Version, by faith, he still speaks, even though he's dead. There may be an allusion here to God's words to Cain. The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Genesis 4:11. What the writer here appears to be teaching is that Abel's faith, his death, his blood, all continue to speak of the necessity of atonement by blood. The blood of Jesus shed for repentant sinners. The blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Hebrews 12:24. Those better words are words of mercy and grace. Abel still speaks to remind us that the true worship of God must always be accompanied by faith, saving faith. Abel's worship. The second historical example is Enoch's walk, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. As with Abel, there is no mention of Enoch's faith in this passage. In fact, almost nothing of his life is revealed. There are no recorded words of Abel. There are no recorded words of Enoch. What we do know is found in Genesis 5. He was the father of Methuselah, who lived longer than any other man has ever lived, 969 years. And verse 22 says, after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. From the account, it seems to infer that Enoch's walk with God began after the birth of Methuselah. He must have discovered that he needed more than human wisdom to train this son. Many of us have found the same thing. We simply don't have the gifts in and of ourselves to train our children in the way they need to be trained. But with God's help, we are able to be his instruments in reaching our children for Christ. If he wanted his son to walk with God, he must provide the example. If we want our children to walk with God, we must set the example. Enoch's faith was seen in his consistent walk with God. His walk continued for 300 years through good times and bad times, through times of joy and times of sorrow. When skies were blue and in days of storm, in times of prosperity and in times of hardship. You see, Enoch's walk with God was not determined by outward circumstances, but by an inner relationship. In the letter of Jude, we read of a different aspect of Enoch's faith, verses 14 and 15. Now, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, that is, the unregenerate people, also saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds of which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. In the Hebrews passage, the author does not say how Enoch passed into eternity. He writes that he was not found, for God had taken him. The Genesis passage says God took him, chapter 5, verse 24. The Hebrew word used here is found nowhere else in the Old Testament to refer to someone dying. When God took him to heaven, He did it in an extraordinary way. Enoch's faith is seen in his walk with God. In Amos 3:3, the prophet asks, "Can two walk together unless they are agreed?" All during that 300 year, those 300 years, Enoch and God were walking together. They were in agreement. And finally, in a way that has not been revealed to us, God took him home. I remember hearing a child telling the story of Enoch. And she said that God and Enoch liked to take walks together. And one day they walked farther than usual, and God said to Enoch, "We are closer to my home than we are to yours. Why don't you come home with me?" What about your walk with God? You can't even begin that walk until your sins are forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you walking with God? See, the elders don't really know that. Your neighbors don't really know that. Only you and God know that. What is your answer? Abel's worship, Enoch's walk, and finally the author describes Noah's work. Look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Noah lived in a time when evil had taken over the world. Sometimes we think we live in a similar age. In Genesis 6:5, we read, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of his heart was only evil continually." Like Enoch, the 9th verse of the same chapter says, Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. In order for Noah to work for God, he had to walk with God. God told Noah he was going to send a flood to destroy all human and animal life on earth. But Noah and his family and certain animals would be spared, because God would enable Noah to build an ark. Genesis 6:22 says, "This Noah did, according to all that God commanded him, so he did." When Noah began to build this huge ark, there was no sign of rain. The ark was to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. It was an enormous task for Noah and his sons to undertake. And it took 100 years for the ark to be completed. And during that time, we can assume, although we're not told, that Noah endured mockery, ridicule from people who made fun of him for building a boat or ship so far from any body of water large enough to float it. Well, it took 100 years, and finally the ark was completed. But here in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the author, under divine inspiration, wrote, "Noah, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household." Godly fear, the Greek word here, means to act with caution and even fear, to be afraid. Noah shared the faith of the Apostle Paul, who wrote centuries later about his shipwreck on the way to Rome. God sent an angel to assure him that there would be no loss of life. And Paul said to the crew, "Therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as he has told me." Noah showed his faith by his work. He believed by faith that it would be just as God had told him. And at that time, of all the inhabitants of the earth, only Noah and his family survived. Well, how important is faith in the Word of God? Look at verse 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." Think what those words are saying. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. These three men who lived thousands of years ago were singled out by the Holy Spirit as examples of faith to the Hebrews and to every Christian since. Saving faith encompasses the totality of our life, our worship, our walk, and our work. These activities under God are the keys to the effectiveness of the church in the work of advancing the kingdom of God. For a moment, I'd like for us just to take a few moments to examine our own hearts in these areas. Worship. Is the worship of God, public and private, a priority and a delight in your life? Is it as vital to you to be in God's house every time these doors are open as it is to be at your job the other 5 days of the week? Are you as careful to feed your souls as you are your bodies? Does your worship of God arise from a heart that has been cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ? Our walk. Is your life a continual walk with God? Regardless of external circumstances, do your children see your walk with God? Is it as real to your family as it is to you? Do they see your walk with God at home as well as in the church worship and work? Are you personally involved in the work of the Southside congregation, using your special gifts? If everyone was involved in the work to the extent that you are, would the work get done? And one more personal question in four parts. Is your faith pleasing to God? Or I should ask, do you have faith in Christ? It's easy for us sometimes to come to these worship services week after week without thinking about what our relationship to Jesus Christ must be. Do you earnestly seek Him as you take time every day to read His Word and pray? Do you know by faith the Son of God before whom you're going to stand in judgment one day? And if you were suddenly called before the judgment seat of Christ tonight, would your heart be filled with terror or with joy? When God is pleased and continues to be pleased to bless this congregation with growth as He has in the past, it is because God is using you and your gifts to serve Him and to glorify the name of Christ. So we need to be worshiping by faith. We need to be walking by faith. We need to be working by faith. And in Psalm 116 and the 8th stanza, we sing these words. We won't sing them tonight, but we do sing them. Thou hast released my soul from death, my eyes from tears kept free. From falling, Thou hast kept my feet. I live and walk with Thee. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for these men of old who served You in their generation, even as You have called us to serve in our generation. I thank You for the Southside congregation, for the leadership You provided over these years, for the growth that You have sent, for souls that have been brought to know Jesus Christ as Savior. But Father, there is so much more yet to be done. And we pray that You will guide each member, each adherent in their worship, in their walk, and in their work. And our Father, we will be pleased to give You the praise and the glory, both now in this life and in eternity. And we offer our prayer and all of life in Jesus' name. Amen.